That has come very close many times. We just learned that at the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis, a probably terminal nuclear war was averted by one word from one submarine commander who countermanded an order to send off nuclear missiles. Major threats are predicted, in large part as a consequence of government policies. Hart-Rudman High-Level Task Force can give you a list of them. It just came out. So the survival of the species is by no means a sure thing, decent survival. Well, what's hegemony? Hegemony has to do with a domination of the international system by small sectors of power at the moment that happens to be one superpower, which does not dominate the rest of the world in all dimensions, but overwhelmingly dominates it in one dimension, namely the military dimension. The United States now probably outspends the next maybe 25 countries in the world in military expenditures and is increasing that lead, and furthermore has made it extremely clear and unambiguous that it intends to make sure that it will dominate the world by force, the dimension in which it reigns supreme, and that we'll tolerate no competitors. This has caused plenty of shudders in the world, even in the U.S. foreign policy elite. And though it's not unique to this administration or even to the United States, it is taking a historical form which is unusual, maybe unprecedented. Well, then, what are the consequences of hegemony for survival? Unfortunately, if you look at the factors that surround hegemony, the short-term goals to maximize profit, to increase control of the world, and so on, you ask how those goals play out. Turns out they do happen to threaten survival. And it's a deep problem because the decisions are not irrational within the framework of the institutions in which they're being taken, but they may be utterly irrational as compared with the likelihood that my grandchildren will have a world to live in. So, for example, in the military dimension, carrying forth the announced goal of controlling the world by force and ensuring that there are no competitors is almost certainly leading to proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, increasing of tension, increasing of the likelihood of terrorist operations, which could be quite serious. And those can, in unanticipated ways, lead to massive destruction. Just to turn to another dimension, the United States is alone in the world, and this is not Bush, this goes back to the Clinton administration and before, is alone in the world in trying to move to the militarization of space. Those policies are intended, as is stated, to ensure U.S. commercial interests and investments. However, if you look at those plans, they pose an extreme threat to survival because of the nature of the systems that are being considered. And across the board, the choice between hegemony and survival is one that we must face if we care about our grandchildren.
Chapter 1. Priorities and Prospects. A few years ago, one of the great figures of contemporary biology, Ernst Mayr, published some reflections on the likelihood of success in the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. He considered the prospects very low. His reasoning had to do with the adaptive value of what we call higher intelligence, meaning the particular human form of intellectual organization. Mayr estimated the number of species since the origin of life at about 50 billion, only one of which achieved the kind of intelligence needed to establish a civilization. It did so very recently, perhaps 100,000 years ago. It is generally assumed that only one small breeding group survived, of which we are all descendants. Mayr speculated that the human form of intellectual organization may not be favored by selection. The history of life on Earth, he wrote, refutes the claim that it is better to be smart than to be stupid, at least judging by biological success. Beetles and bacteria, for example, are vastly more successful than humans in terms of survival. He also made the rather somber observation that the average life expectancy of a species is about 100,000 years. We are entering a period of human history that may provide an answer to the question of whether it is better to be smart than stupid. The most hopeful prospect is that the question will not be answered. If it receives a definite answer, that answer can only be that humans were a kind of biological error, using their allotted 100,000 years to destroy themselves and,